When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your moves.
Greetings and welcome to the Caribbean Radio Show, CRS Radio. I'm your host, Marjorie Henry Lawrence, MHL. Thank you for tuning in today and just hoping to hopefully have a nice little chat with you today. And today's topic that we're looking at is going to be about the male disorders and the use of essential oils to keep to help with the situation. So just welcome again, and just to let you know that the telephone number you can call in on is 661-467-2407. That's 661-467-2407. So welcome again. Remember last week we were looking at, you know, sleep disorders and so on. That was something that would affect, you know, everybody and anybody really. It's not something that is dependent on your sex or sexuality or anything. So, but this week we're looking at that, the male disorders and hopefully use of essential oils or other therapies that could help to alleviate this particular problem. So I'm really, really excited about this topic today. You know, it's a topic that is really worthy of more discussion and more examination. So I'm really happy to be here to do this with you. So, you know, normally when we hear about male health, immediately I would think our minds sort of go straight to the male reproductive system, and that would be quite normal really if you did think that. But so what we're going to do today is look and focus upon the male, what's called a male genitourinary system. So it's more than just the reproductive area, it's also with regards to the bladder as well and so on, the urinary system. But it's very important to note that statistically, men experience, you know, higher rates of heart disease, chronic lung disorders, liver disease, cancer, and diabetes, much more than women. They really do, you know. And these higher rates of disease contribute to the average life expectancy of the male being on average about 7 years less than a female. And I think we have a caller online at the moment, so let us see what we can do here. Welcome, caller. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, greetings. I'm just listening in for right now. That's okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for joining me. I do appreciate it.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So, yes, so as I said before, you know, this actually contributes to men living about 7 years less than a female. So the focus of our topic today will indeed be about the male genitourinary system. And, you know, this system is actually fundamental to the overall health of a man's body, you know. So a healthy urogenitary system will lead to a much healthier sexual function. It will help with proper elimination and, of course, the general vitality of the male. So this is why, you know, I think I really wanted to actually look at this topic on the recommendation of a very good friend. So it has been on my mind for the past few weeks, and I just thought, well, this is the right time to do it. So as an aromatherapist, you know, I'm always interested in the what's called the emotions of the organs. Whenever somebody has a physical problem, in my mind, I always try to go back to the emotions of the organs. And what do I mean when I say the emotions of the organs? Because, you know, behind every physical manifestation of a dis-ease or disease, there's normally an emotional component that needs to be looked at. We can't get away from that because the whole person is not just physical and mental. It's, you know, mental, emotional, physical, spiritual. All these aspects help to make the rounded person, the whole person. So with the emotions of the organs, yes, the reproductive system, the kidneys, and the bladder are affected by the emotions of fear, the emotion of paranoia, and the emotion of apprehension. So let's bear this in mind as we take a closer look at the dysfunctions of the male genitourinary system. Always bear in mind the emotions that are at play in this particular situation: fear, paranoia, and apprehension. Now, we do know that, you know, women are far more open about discussing female health issues. So much so, it is well publicized and discussed with relative openness. So we, the women, have been a lot, you know, when women tend to be more, they communicate a lot more, they talk a lot more, they're more comfortable discussing stuff. So because of that particular nature of a woman, we have benefited from our situation being more publicized and more understood and so on. So we want to get to a point where the men as well feel as comfortable doing this, because we don't want to have them dying 7 years earlier or more, you know. We want to try and address that and close that gap and have long, healthy lives for both men and for women. So we want the men to feel more comfortable with the idea of being able to open up and be more willing to seek help much earlier when they have like minor ailments. You know, with a woman, if something is mildly wrong or partially wrong, women are more willing to go to the doctor or talk to a family member about issues like that. So we really want the men to be seeking out for help much earlier when they have these minor ailments. You see, what it is when you have minor ailments, it's actually just like a warning sign. You know, the body, it will talk to us. It will say to us, oh, you know, you're tired now or whatever. And when we get these messages, we shouldn't really ignore them. because these minor problems, you know, it's really a warning for something more serious, some underlying issues, probably more serious. So what we want to do is to begin to address the issues early. We want the men to start addressing the issues that they're experiencing much earlier. And the reason why we want them to do that is that that will help to reduce the morbidity and the mortality rates. You know, we want our men to be around, to enjoy the family, et cetera, enjoy their lives and so on, healthier and longer lives and so on. So it's really important that we get this point across. Let us stop ignoring what our bodies are saying to us. Our bodies are, when we have aches and pains, it's not about the body trying to punish us and make us unhappy. It's just that if we were living our lives in a balanced manner, then we wouldn't have aches and pains and so on. So the body just finds a way to speak to us, and we need to just listen more. So in essence, the longer a man will wait to address the issues, the more likely the issue will get to a more advanced state before it's picked up. So now what we want to do is to look at what are the types of male disorders that we need to sort of examine today. So we are going to look at impotence. We're going to look at benign prostatic hypertrophy. We're going to look at the prostatics, and we'll look at prostatic cancer as well. So let us start with impotence. So just to get a sort of definition of what it is, a kind of a ballpoint of what we're talking about here, impotence is really the inability to sustain a satisfactory erection, to perform intercourse and ejaculation. So a lot of men accept this as a natural part of aging if they can no longer perform at a maximum level as they get older. They just accept it. But, you know, they don't have to accept it as a part of aging, because as you get older, it doesn't necessarily mean it's an inevitable result of aging. No, it's not. But, and in fact, with this particular problem with impotence, it does vary from person to person, depending on the person's overall health and the person's overall vitality. So we don't want people to just think, oh, I'm older now, I'm 50, going 60, going 70, whatever. It's just a part of life. You know, we can grow older without aging. In fact, there are many people today who are older, who have taken care of themselves, and who would say, you know what, I'm now in my 60s, my 50s, 70s, and I feel better than I did when I was in my 30s or whatever. So the body is very forgiving. If you give the right support, it likes to heal, it likes to get better. So there's hope, you know. And, you know, if there's a problem, there's usually normally some kind of a solution. It might mean you have to change the way you're living your lives and so on, the way you're thinking, the way you're eating, the way you're exercising, etc. So there's always hope. So basically, there are two types of impotence. There's the primary impotence, and then there's the secondary impotence. So let's have a closer look now at what this primary impotence is and how it manifests itself. So the primary impotence is rare, associated with unreasonable fear. Here's that word fear again. Remember, I said to you about the emotion of the organs that's linked to that particular system. Fear, paranoia, apprehension. So it says the impotence, the primary impotence, is associated with unreasonable fear of engaging in intercourse. It can also come about due to fear of intimacy or extreme feelings of guilt or anxiety. That's, again, apprehension, anxiety about the act of intercourse. So you see that it is closely tied into the emotion, this primary impotence. But primary impotence may also be due to low male sex hormones. So we have to bear that in mind as well when looking at this particular situation. Now, there's secondary impotence, which is more common. And the male is only able to actually engage in intercourse about 25% of the time. And this kind of impotence is mainly what you call the is situational by nature. So it's not so much linked like the first type with all this fear and anxiety, but it's more situational. So what happens is that the person may become maybe bored with the relationship or the place, or maybe the opportunity to engage sexually is not optimal. So that can actually cause the male not to be performing on that particular level. There's a particular thing they can do to test for that secondary to see if it's really that's the problem. What they can do is they can put like a little band on their penis before the person goes to sleep at night. And in the morning when they wake up, if the band is shifted or broken, then it will say, yes, you definitely have an erection. So it's a good way of testing. And they will say, oh, yes, definitely, there's nothing wrong with you. It's just a situational thing, you're bored or whatever. In addition to that, for the secondary impotence, there's still some emotional factors taking place, pardon me, such as low self-esteem, means the person not very, very mature in their behavior. They may have performance anxiety again. Even depression can play a role in the secondary. So there's still some emotional link, maybe not as intense as the primary cause, but definitely it does affect on that level. So if the problem is one of a physical nature, then maybe certain illnesses might be the cause of this impotence. So you may have, like, for example, endocrine disorders, such as hyperthyroidism, that could be a cause of it as well. And even taking medications like hypertensives, if you have a high blood pressure and stuff, that can begin to impact upon the male system and cause this impotence as well. So these are the common sort of reasons for impotence, especially in older men who may be on various types of medication. Now, an essential oil that I would actually recommend to help with impotence in particular is the essential oil of ginger. So let's talk a little bit about this essential oil of ginger, because most people, we do know about ginger. We know the rhizome. Other people have ginger tea, and so on. And for those who make it from scratch, like I do, you get the rhizome, you clean it up, you wash it, clean it up, and you bring the water to a boil, you add the ginger, let it boil hard for a while until you can smell the essence and stuff. The water goes a bit yellow. And you can drink that regularly, and it's a really fantastic herb. So as well as using the essential oil in a massage, you can actually be drinking this tea. So if you're having this kind of impotence, it will begin to bring about some healing. Now, so the essential oil of ginger, it is a hot, moving, and tonifying oil. But this sort of strengthening and tonifying properties of ginger indicates it's used as an aphrodisiac. So I like to call ginger the original Viagra. Is this kind of thing, if you use it, it will bring about this vitality. And in fact, in some places and some cultures, it is stated that it's a herb used by older men who have much younger wives. So it actually makes the man more virile. Hello, hello, thank you for calling.
Yes. Could you tell me the base oil that you would use, the property oil that you would use for the massage for the ginger?
Oh, yes, of course. We have numerous thank you for calling. We have numerous base oils that you can use. And with the base oils, as you know, you don't have to dilute the base oils. That's the oil in which you mix your essential oils. So
right.
It's kind of based on your preference. A very popular one, of course, is olive oil. Everybody knows olive oil. Extra virgin olive oil or cold pressed. The base oil you try to choose should be cold pressed and unrefined. So all the properties are essentially maintaining the oil. So for example, let's just say you're making a blend for somebody, you could put like 30 mils or maybe 3 tablespoons of oil, and then you could add maybe 5 drops of ginger essential oil to that base oil. And I'm glad you asked that question. It's really, really, really good timing, because I was just about to say that the way you would do it is that you would then massage that oil on the abdomen and on the back of the person, you know? Because the ginger is quite a spicy oil, try to avoid the areas where it could irritate the delicate mucous membrane. So not so much near the penis and those delicate areas, because it's quite a fiery oil. But it's so good, you know, especially when combined with other oils that are good for that as well. So you could maybe combine it with essential oil of lemon. Yes, because that's quite a good oil for cleaning out arteries and tubes and stuff. And you could maybe put 5 drops of ginger, 3 drops of lemon, and maybe even 2 drops of rose as another type of oil for that particular situation. And it works really, really beautifully. Did you have any other questions, Cola?
Oh, no, I'm going to replay this over and over. This is just so awesome for me, because this is what I use. I use a lot of essential oils as well. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And do stay with me and we will continue with the discussion. Do feel free to interject. It's nice to have you online. You're welcome. So basically, as I said before, for me, this is like the original Viagra. You know, this is a situation where you have these much older men who have much younger wives, as does happen in many cultures. And it gives them that sort of vitality and virility to the man. So, you know, so essential oil of ginger, you know, it makes it one of the most important oils for strengthening the immune system as well, because sometimes when there's problem with the prostate system, there's sometimes infection as well. And it's good to have an oil that can stimulate the immune system to fight off infections as well. So this would have the male disorder that's due to prostatitis. So basically, where there's prostatitis, there's an infection and inflammation, and also the ginger will actually help to clean out any existing bacteria that's there as well. So the essential oil of ginger is working both in terms of giving that vitality, also in terms of building the immune system, and to help overcome infections. Now, I mentioned the benign prostatic hypertrophy. Now, this particular problem is due to an enlarged prostate gland, yes? Now, it has been noted that where there's chronic constipation, of course, it would cause extra pain to the prostate. And again, the essential oil of ginger, which is a moving oil, that would help to sort of remove any excess mucus from the lungs as well. But it's also good for the digestive system. It would cause the digestive system to work better, and you have a better evacuation of the bowels. And I love ginger for that particular reason, because, you know, while it's working on the lungs, gets rid of excess phlegm and stuff on the lungs, it will not dry out your digestive system. It makes it better and healthier. So it's so fabulous. And as I was saying, the formula I had for the particular situation was to use 5 drops of ginger. You could use cedar wood as well, or lemon if you wanted to, and even lavender. So you could vary the mixture, but make the ginger the primary essential oil. So 5 drops of the ginger, maybe 3 drops of cedar wood, 2 drops of lavender, or 5 drops of ginger, 3 drops of lemon, 2 drops of rose. And don't forget to drink that ginger tea as well. And when you drink the ginger tea, do add in that tea the raw honey. And prefer, you know, you have many types of honey, but the raw honey is in its most natural state. And that would be like super duper rich in magnesium. And we love magnesium because a lot of us are very much lacking in this essential mineral. A lot of diseases that we experience in our bodies is really due to the lack of magnesium. So if you can get magnesium in the body as much as possible, we begin to see the body working better. So, but and also I like to look at the psychology as well of the ginger oil. It's so fantastic, you know, on a psychological level. Ginger will create a sense of determination and confidence, and especially if you become sort of flat, apathetic, and indecisive. So the essential oil of ginger will help you to work through difficulties with greater sense of your own inner power. And that more or less covers, you know, that little bit of the impotence and the essential oils to deal with it. But I like the essential oil of rose as well. You know, it's really good for sexual health, you know. And even though this oil is normally associated with the heart and, you know, heartfelt matters, I just wanted to interject here and say the essential oil of rose is really good for treating women if they have, like, infertility and frigidity. And it would also help the man to increase their sperm count. So it's a beautiful oil to use, such a romantic oil, but it's so powerful working on the reproductive system. So, you know, don't be afraid to combine that essential oil of rose as well if you need to. So that as well, you know, that rose will give you that sense of relaxed well-being, and it's such a super-duper antidepressant. Because, of course, if you're not functioning well, you're having impotence, it can create depression. And so the rose will uplift you and give you that sense of feeling good about yourself, make you feel more sort of attractive and confident. And, you know, we can't underestimate the power of the emotions to make us feel better and do better in our life. Then there's the benign prostatic hypertrophy. So what I really mean, benign, just means harmless, yes. And then hypertrophy has to do with things swelling up and getting enlarged, really. So it is stated that by the age of 50, about 30% of all men will start to experience difficulties with urination due to the enlarged prostate gland, also known as the benign prostatic hypertrophy. And how this actually manifests itself is that there is an increase in the number of times a man has to visit the bathroom, an increase in the sensation of having to urinate. Because sometimes you feel the sensation, you get there, it's like, oh, there's not much here. So even that's quite irritating as well. And that increase, that is probably worse at night. So you go to bed to sleep and then you're waking up and, you know, it's disturbing your sleep. That can then lead to insomnia, which we discussed last week. So we don't really want that at all. And then there's also with this benign prostatic hypertrophy, there's also a reduction in the force and the caliber of the urination. There might even be urinary incontinence. And, you know, as mentioned before, there might be chronic constipation as well, which may cause further prostatic discomfort. So, you know, can you imagine now all these symptoms the male is having with this enlargement? It can lead to such a, you know, a sense of frustration, embarrassment, and, you know, a basic disruption of your activities, because you're going out somewhere, you know, long drive, you have to stop regularly to, you know, to relieve yourself. It's not a good state to be in. So want to try and find a way to help the male to overcome these problems. So what I found is that the essential oil of cedarwood is quite good to use at this point. So If you can always mix that as well with the ginger just to cover any other issue that might be there to bring more vitality to the body and stuff. But the essential oil of cedar water will help to regulate the excessive need to urinate. So if you blend this cedar wood in a base oil again, just massage over the abdomen or the lower back, you'll find it to be quite a warming oil. And it's also quite a regenerating oil as well. It tonifies, it's soothing, it's uplifting. And just look at the property of the psychological factor of this essential oil before we have a little musical break. The essential oil of cedarwood helps to give a stronger sense of identity and encourages this kind of interrelationship, you know, with people. People have a problem sometimes, you know, sort of getting close to people. Cedarwood on a psychological level will help to sort of bring a closeness with how you deal with people or your partner. And this essential oil of cedarwood, it's also good for both the primary impotence and the benign prostatic hypertrophy, which is just basically the enlarged prostate. In addition to cedarwood, there's also the essential oil of jasmine. What a beautiful oil that is. That is also really helpful in the case where you have this kind of excessive urination or diminished urination. You have to bring that sort of balance to the situation. So before we go on any further, I'm going to take a little break, a little musical break. And just hold on, Paul. I'll be back shortly. Thank you for listening to the Caribbean Radio Show. I'm your host, Marjorie Henry Lawrence, MHL. And we don't have Dr. Ev this week with us, but I'm sure she's listening. We miss her this week. Hopefully she can call in after the break and help to bring her useful perspective. Please hold. Thank you very much. Yes, yes, yes. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Caribbean Radio Show. I'm your host, Marjorie Henry Lawrence, MHL. And we're looking at the male disorders and hopefully the essential oils and other things that you can do to help the situation. You know, in the first section, we're looking at the fact that men don't tend to be as willing to discuss their problems or as willing to go to the doctor when they have any sort of minor sort of issues coming up. And we really want to encourage men to feel more relaxed and comfortable with the idea of just going in and having a chat about the situation, because they don't have to suffer in silence. You know, we don't need to be embarrassed about this anymore, because it's your health, you know. Your body is the only place that you really have to live. So we need to take care of that body. It's going to take us right through until we leave and go to the next life. So I want to encourage the men to just basically come on, you know, come on board with the idea of just popping in and get an examination done and just a general health check to make sure they're in a good condition. The number to call is 661-467-2407. I want to thank the caller for holding. Very nice to have you online tonight. And we just looked at the fact that we could use the essential oil of cedarwood, you know, to help to regulate that excessive need to urinate due to this sort of benign prostatic hypertrophy. So what about the one, the male disorder, which is prostatitis? Now, prostatitis is really just an inflammation or infection of the prostate gland, most often seen in men between the ages of 20 to 50. So a lot of time when you hear about people having prostate problems, you always think of older men, but this is something that will affect the younger men, a younger person as well. So welcome, caller. 4441.
Good evening.
Hello. Ah, Dr. M. Thank you for joining us.
Wow.
We want to hear your point of view.
Listening on the outside, wonderful, wonderful topic. I have a few friends listening in, and you know, one friend not having such a wonderful time when it comes to the prostate thing, which is, you mentioned one thing, not suffering in silence, and a lot of men, because they're masculine or whatever that thing is, causes them really to withdraw, and that causes a lot of real psychological problems, as you stated, and going into depression, because that's what our food is, just like, you know, the penis to the man's power.
Yes,
you know,
of course.
At the center. And when that sees the function, it's like, you know, part of your whole being is lost. So I'm
definitely
so happy that you're bringing that up, because normally we talk about women issues, but a lot of times we don't get to the point where we talk about men issues.
Definitely. And we just want the brothers out there. Yes, yes. We want the brothers out there to feel more comfortable. They don't have to eat. They just can go to a doctor. They don't have to discuss it with their friends, you know. They can just go and see a doctor and begin to get some help from that point, because, you know, it's so important.
Go to the doctor is the problem. That's the problem. You know, it's easy maybe for you to express something to a friend rather than go to a doctor, because the embarrassment, I mean, although the physician don't know you in that personal level, just to own up and say, hey, I have a problem, that is a problem within itself.
But maybe we need to look at the cultural aspects of this situation, because if the culture is placing so much emphasis on a man's being around his sexuality, you know, then we need to probably address the way we are viewing people, because, of course, you know, a person is so much more than their sexuality. You know, that's just a part of the person. It's important, but, you know, your heart, how you treat people, how you live your life, those things are really quite important. I believe in a society that places so much emphasis on how you look, how you perform, and we really need to address this because it's causing so much unhappiness for so many people, you know. So barrier down so you can sort of interact more freely with people and so on. The essential oils really do work on that psychological, emotional level and sort of, you know, release that sort of blockage that people have in terms of in so many issues of their lives, really. So, you know, I'm so glad to have you on board, Dr. S.
Thank you.
So,
and I know you have a caller on there. Is she still there?
Yes. Caller, what's your opinion on all this? Caller, 4097.
Yes, I am just so, this is such a great topic. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it, I really think, a lot of it, as far as the male, I think it starts from childhood in reference to their mom.
Yes.
Because I think their mom, it has a lot to do with being able to nurture and foster that in a male. And a man, their fathers can't do it. But it's their mother. Their mother have to foster that into them. And that's why a lot of times it becomes embarrassing and all this other stuff because they can't go to the doctor with that. And that's just what I think. And that's what I have.
I think that's a brilliant point, Carla, to be honest. That's an absolutely brilliant point, you know. And I really appreciate that perspective, to be honest, because it's so good to have different views on a topic, and I think that's really quite important. Especially if you're raising boys, they should be free to come to you and talk to you, because you're the first woman in their lives, you know. So,
exactly.
Yeah, so they should be able to feel free to discuss those sort of intimate things to a certain extent.
Right.
And,
yes. And then it has to do with the wife, you know, that determines a very good wife and a very good queen, and her contributions to her king and her husband as far as being able to foster that in her husband, because there's that trust thing there. And it's not that he's looking for a mother, but you still have to have that mother intuitive side to be able to know what's going on with this, to go on with your husband if he's not able to talk up to it. It's up to us to be able to see that. And even
to just put
your hands on where that is and just communicate with those little put your hand on where it is.
It's very energetic, isn't it? The whole thing.
Yes, it is.
Yes,
I'm a living witness to that. It really is.
Amen.
You don't have to say anything. You just send love and vibrations to that area, and I'm telling you, it works.
It does work. It is
really works. Yes,
really works. I was reading an article recently where a young man in his, who's on Facebook actually in his 20s, got married to a woman in her old, in her 30s, late 30s, and he was actually a virgin getting married to this older woman, and he had so many problems, and it was funny, people just laughing at him and saying, you know, and the wife was saying she was going to leave him and give him bond because he can't perform. And I was thinking how callous and how insensitive, you know, she being an older woman, having experience, and him being a younger man in his 20s, being a virgin, coming to marriage, how insensitive she could have took that opportunity to heal him and bring him to, you know, to his own sort of knowingness and truth and have a really young, healthy partner. But instead, she was abusing him, and then the comments on Facebook were absolutely terrorizing. I thought, oh, my God, it's really bad, you know? So you're right, definitely, you know, we're all interconnected, and we can't just, you know, just think that what we say or do doesn't matter. It does make a difference, and we can bring our men to healing by being that person they can turn to. So I really appreciate that, caller. Thank you so much. Dr. Ed, you still there?
Yes, thank you.
Wonderful. So we still have some time here. We're going to just look at the disorder called prostatitis. Yeah? So it was the actual inflammation or infection of the prostate gland, and it's most likely seen between the ages of 20 to 50. The most common type of this particular problem is caused by some kind of infective agent, such as a bacteria or maybe chlamydia. Chlamydia is a very, very popular sexually transmitted disease. It's quite a silent one as well. And it's just where you have this sort of intercellular parasite transmitted through sexual contact. So, and also prostatitis can also be due to autoimmune disorders, et cetera, et cetera. So when there's an infection, basically, you have to cease all sexual activity, including masturbation. That too should be eliminated. And this will allow the prostate to renew itself, to re-engage and to refresh and rebuild and so on. And some of the symptoms of this prostatitis includes, again, sometimes the difficulty to urinate, the frequency of urination, the urgency, and sometimes there might even be a kind of a discharge from the penis after a bowel movement. There, you can have an acute case, and you can have a chronic case. So when it's an acute case of prostatitis, what you might see, you might actually have a case of severe pain and tenderness in the region of the prostate, and the pain may extend up to the genitals, the pelvis, even into the back. And you might even have things like fever, chills, and overall fatigue. That's when it's acute and really active. Now, when it's more settled into the body and becomes chronic, this can actually lead to the person ending up having something like bladder outlet obstruction, and even may have stones in the prostate. So, you know, these are, again, problems that we need to take seriously. And it's no point the men just saying, I'm going to ignore it. You know, sometimes you think if I ignore something, it will go away. Well, sometimes we ignore some things and it do go away. But in this case, it's not good to ignore this particular problem. Again, it's best, and we encourage men to go and get themselves tested. Then, of course, then there's the prostatic cancer. Now, we all know what cancer is about. So with the prostatic cancer, this is the most commonly found cancer in males over 50 years old. And it is the second most common cancer affecting all men. The interesting thing is that the highest incidence of this prostatic cancer is found in black men. Now, this is a serious matter. I think black men have this kind of ego again. They don't want to get things tested and whatever. So maybe because they're ignoring the earlier signs when they have these small issues, they're ignoring it. It's then leading to this sort of morbidity and mortality because they're waiting a longer time to address the smaller issues. So the highest incidence of prostatic cancer is in black men. So we want to really encourage black men to take a serious look at how they're dealing with their situation. Now, the problem with cancer of the prostate is that there may be no detectable symptoms, or the symptoms might be similar to those found in the benign prostatic hyperplasia. So that's where the confusion comes in. No symptoms, or if you do have symptoms, it might just seem quite benign. And this is where I want to mention the essential oil of myrtle. I don't think it's a very well-used oil. It's not very much spoken about. It's a fantastic oil, this essential oil of myrtle. The thing is that, based on a study by the Brigham Young University, the myrtle inhibits the prostate and breast cancer cells, you know. So it's really good for the prostate as well as breast cancer cells. And it works best when the myrtle is used in low concentration. And we do know that men as well are now, in the last 20, 30 years, getting also getting breast cancer. Because, you know, when we use these antiperspirants, they block the flow of the, they block the lymphatic system, you know, under the armpits, which is one of the major points for releasing toxins from the body. So with the increased use of antiperspirants, your body is supposed to sweat. That's the way the body cleanses itself and gets rid of stuff. So by blocking the armpits and so on, you're finding now that breast cancer is not just a female issue. Now, this particular essential oil of myrtle, adaptogen. That's why I like it so much. It's an adaptogenic herb. And what it does is, so if there's an increase in the function of a gland, it would actually reduce that function. And if it's an if the function is low, it would make it higher. So it's really balancing the function of the gland. So whatever you're going through is like too much urination or too little or whatever, it would bring about adaptogenic type of herb. You know, when you take like pharmaceutical drugs and so on, these drugs, they can act sometimes more like a bulldozer or a sledgehammer, kind of like forcing the body to in one direction or the other direction. This is why it's so good, you know, to use these kind of herbs and stuff, because it's more balancing. I will find that happy middle ground. The essential oil of myrtle as well is also an astringent. So remember, you can have like maybe inflammation, swelling when you have that benign prostatic hypertrophy. So it will also reduce pain and swelling. So there it is as well. You know, it's kind of balancing. It's good. It's an, you know, it's an anti-cancer. It's good for the prostate and breast, and also good as an astringent. And in fact, in the year 1876, it was discovered that myrtle is very good for the genitourinary system. And that is what we're looking at today, the male genitourinary system. So it's really an essential oil to use to have in your cabinet, you know, to help to address these issues. Now, this essential oil of myrtle is really ticking quite a few boxes. So it's anti-cancer, so it will be good for the prostatic cancer. It's antiseptic, so it'd be good for the prostatitis and dealing with any sort of infected agent. It's astringent, so it's going to deal with the inflammation as well. And because I'm so impressed with this particular essential oil of myrtle, you know, from time to time I just look at essential oils and what they do. Just let you know, the essential oil of myrtle is also a good disinfectant. And that means it actually inhibits infections because it's a fantastic bactericidal, germicidal, fungicidal. It's also antiviral. And it has a wonderful way of working not only on the genitourinary system, but also works on the stomach and the intestines and can even stop diarrhea. So it's absolutely beautiful. It is also an expectorant. So again, it will actually reduce the presence of further with phlegm. It's going to reduce phlegm and have to stop more phlegm from forming. It's a deodorant. So instead of using, you know, these deodorants and antiperspirants, what you could probably do is get some coconut oil. You know, coconut oil, virgin coconut oil is kind of like white. Tea tree or whatever, not make it too strong, and you put the myrtle in, and you have your own deodorant. So it's a deodorant. It eliminates foul odors. You could add essential oil of myrtle to lemon, to ginger, you know, those as we discussed before, cedarwood, whatever, and make your base oil and get your base oil, whether it be coconut oil, olive oil, sweet almond oil, any of those good quality base oils that are cold pressed and unrefined, and just massage in the back and those places. Now, so alongside essential oils, don't forget your diet and your nutrition. You know, try reducing things like spicy foods, your caffeine, your alcohol, tobacco, foods high in fats and carbohydrates. By eliminating these things, it really does take genital urinary system. When I say eliminate fats, don't eliminate, of course, the good fats, you know, the fats that you can find in avocados and even the same olive oils and those things. Those are good fats. What we could also do is do some supplementation. So taking things like vitamin C, vitamin E, zinc, your B vitamins, your essential minerals, and of course the wonderful magnesium. I love magnesium. You know, essential oil of rosemary, so rich in magnesium. And magnesium, as you know, is a major neuromuscular relaxant. And at this point in time, I'd say if you can get a hold of the magnesium oil, maybe from your local health food store, and I do believe in people buying locally. You buy locally, you keep the environment, you keep your area alive and buzzing. You can buy it locally, or if you're an online person, you know, pop and purchase the magnesium oil spray. It's so wonderful. Now, just as a last sort of few minutes, you know, there's a case study done by a medical doctor, and you will tell his name because he's a medical doctor. And what it was, he was actually encouraging men over the age of 70 to apply to their skin a progesterone type cream topically. For something, for osteoporosis. So these men actually came to him because they have osteoporosis. They're in their 70s, and he said, massage this progesterone cream into your skin daily. And they did it every day for 3 months. He did it for 12 men. And every one of them came back to him and said to him, you know what? My prostate gland is working better. You know, I have a decrease in nitrogen urination. There's less pain. And the flow is better, et cetera, et cetera. And all of these men, they had an enlarged prostate. They never told him. They never went to him for that problem. They went to see him for osteoporosis. But the offshoot of doing that and using that topical progesterone was that they got a benefit with the reduction and the improvement of the prostate working better. So even though this is quite anecdotal, it's just wonderful to know there are so many things that we can do that can be done to help the situation. And don't forget there are other alternative therapies like herbal medicine, homeopathy, traditional Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine. Do go and try. Don't just sit there and study and suffer. Go and see your doctor and do what's called the PSA test. And also, if necessary, go and see a doctor and have what's called a prostatic massage. And that is done with a glove at the rectum. Okay, thank you so much for joining me today on the Caribbean Radio Show. It's Marjorie Henry Lawrence speaking, and just so happy to be here. Thanks for the caller for holding on and being with us today. It was lovely to have your contribution. Dr. Edwards, fantastic speaking to you. So tune in next week for the our next show. I'll probably try to look at something to do with reflexology or something like that. So thank you so much, and we'll chat again next week. Thank you so much. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.
Danny, I just figured out that if I switch to Metro PCS, I get two Samsung Galaxy phones free.
Cool, Dad.
And I could be a super dad with two free Samsung Galaxy phones and call myself Double Galaxy Man.
Or you could give the second phone to your sidekick.
Yeah, I guess I could do that.
That's right. Two free Samsung Galaxy On 5 smartphones are all yours when you switch to Metro PCS. Metro PCS. Wireless figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.